Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm in my 50s, and I'm pretty sure my mother still gets nervous when they give me a microphone. Rich asked me to come up and talk about my trip to Honduras. Those of you that have been on a missions trip know that there's a lot of time and emotional prayer spent in preparing. You want to make sure that you can come up with the finances, and you want to make sure that you pack everything that you need. And for me, there was a lot of time spent hoping and praying that God would give me the spiritual strength and the knowledge that I needed for whatever he might have there for me, and that I would have what it takes to kind of, you know, give these people, these kind of underprivileged people that really needed us, whatever it is that they need. Just kind of open to whatever that might be. So we arrived in Tegucigalpa, and we drove 4.5 hours over to Catacamas, and then the next day we get up and drive 2.5 more hours up into the mountains and the jungle of Honduras, and we were like truly in the middle of nowhere. And the first day we went into the village of Las Flores, and we drive, and we could only get so far because the roads were a mess with the rain, so we kind of walked the last half quarter mile, and we come around the bend, and there's the village, you know, standing there, and they've made signs and homemade banners and streamers and put flowers in the trees, and the kids are all holding signs, and they counted to 10 in English because it was the 10th anniversary of TPS and Predison coming together up in those communities. And it was, of course, very heartwarming to see. But then they came toward us and just started hugging us, and many of them didn't know me. I was new, and, you know, they're kissing our cheeks, and there's just this huge, warm response. And all of a sudden, I kind of figured it out, that these people didn't really need us at all. They were welcoming back their much-loved brothers and sisters in Christ, and it was a rejoining of a family. And they just were so eager to have people to share what God has done and what he's done for all of us. And we were just coming in on something that was started before anybody ever got in a plane. You know, before even 10 years ago they got on a plane, God had established his kingdom. And I don't know why I didn't know that or see it around me before that moment, but I just kind of got this incredible bird's eye view or God's eye view of what his kingdom looks like. And there's no boundaries, there's no geography, and there's no government, and there's no language barrier. It's just us down here as a body of Christ. And that's really what it was. Of course, we did all the mission trip things. We did help build, you know, dig a latrine, which they desperately needed at the school. And we helped teach English classes at the school. And we did Bible studies with the men and the women. And we did home visits with those that were too poor, too sick to come down to the festivities. We laid hands on a dying woman, and we shared the grief of a sudden miscarriage of the wife of one of the pastors up there. We played games with the children in the rain and in the heat. And but at the same time, the women of the village were standing over these open stoves and cooking for us every day, you know, their favorite dishes, and, you know, knowing what that took for them to gather the resources to cook for the whole group. And they made this incredible rice pudding, and they made tamales, and one day they made hot cocoa from cacao in their backyards, which it's so labor intensive to turn that into hot chocolate. It's unbelievable. And the children brought us gifts they'd been making in school, and the men in the village helped with our puppet shows and, you know, made silly voices, and it was just kind of one big community, worshiping and loving together. At night, we would return back to the compound, and we would have lessons and worship. And it was our drivers and our interpreters would join us, so there was Hondurans. But each night, like, more people came kind of just out of the dark into this building, this kind of shed we were in, and we had to get more chairs and make the circle bigger. And in the beginning, we had songbooks that were English and Spanish, and we'd say, okay, well, we're going to sing this one in English, and we're going to sing this one in Spanish, and so everybody could have a chance to worship. And a little more than halfway through the week, I looked up and realized that they had stopped saying, okay, this one's in English or this one's in Spanish, and we were all just singing. And half the room was singing in Spanish, and the other half was singing in English, and it was just everybody's language, and it was one great, big, incredible outpouring to God, hands around each other's backs and holding hands and tears. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever been part of. So while I was up there, I didn't have a devotional, and I just kind of opened my Bible, and whatever comes up as what I would study, and there was this Bible verse that I wrote down and thought, you know, that really sums up, you know, how I feel about what this week has meant to me. And I put a little star on it and wrote Honduras. So last night when I was putting this together, I thought, hey, there was a Bible verse that maybe that'll fit. I don't know if it still fits. It's been 2 months. And I pull it out, and it's Ephesians 4. And I kind of freaked out. I was like, I can't do that. That's Rich's thing. So so I spoke with him this morning and assured me that it was actually God's thing. So so it does say in Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Thank you.